All right, we are here, we are Galexics, and welcome. And today we talk about developing the channels to receive abundance as part two of our four-part money series. And so we want to refresh you just briefly on what we explored in number one, and that is your relationship to money is also involved with your relationship to the collective, to the consensus, to the mainstream reality. And this mainstream reality is filled with all sorts of amazing thought forms, both positive, negative, crazy, and chaotic, and stable, and strong, and every kind of thing you could imagine. But it's from the collective, it's from the consensus, it's from this grand cultural milieu that is the energy of your culture, the energy of your consensus reality, of what people have put together, what give their energy into, and that it develops this kind of group thought form, and we call this group thought form, after the Russian term for it, the egregor. The egregor we personified so that you could have a beginning of a specific relationship to the collective, because the collective is where you receive everything. You receive everything from money to financial support, to love support, to relationships, to opportunities, to all the energy and information that comes to you, which is part of what you have chosen in this particular lifetime to explore. This lifetime being totally created by you and your team and chosen, specifically building a body for you, building all the themes and opportunities for you to explore, giving you the correct genetics, everything. Everything is all set and primed for you. And as you activate your intention to want to give to this collective, which is what you do. Everyone gives energy into the collective. Everyone receives energy from the collective. And so as you do this interaction of giving and receiving with your collective, with the egregor, you're also giving and receiving with money. You're giving and receiving with wealth, with abundance, with prosperity, with all sorts of wonderful things that you want your opening to the collective to give to you. But the collective is not too fond of you, because you may see yourself, you may have an image of yourself as being on the fringe, being spiritual, not being the type of person who makes a fortune, who is a pop star culture icon. There is this whole sense that collective, the egregor, is not really making you its favorite. It's not giving you its favor and in the form of support and resources and money. So that's really the major focus of what we're putting this series together for. All right, so that you and your collective can work together in harmony, because you're at this point in your life, and this point in the evolution of humanity, in which you are moving into a very refined, higher, new world of vibration that is beyond the limitations of the mainstream reality being right here in the middle. There's the more refined and more subtle currents at frequencies above, and where you have your spiritual teachers, you have your the people who know how to reach the masses and so on and so on. And then you have this mainstream, which is where most people fall, or where most people fall back into, where your image is like in high school, this is the peer group, right? So do you belong to the peer group? Are you in the in-group? Are you in the out-group? And that relationship to the collective is extremely important as to whether you feel that you have the capacity to receive from that collective. And those who are beneath the mainstream, those who are caught in turmoil and chaos and poverty and suffering, all right? So it's all part of the egregor. And so what we wish for you is that by working with this material that we're sharing with you, and many of you have other resources as well and other spiritual teachers as well, and so on, by working through a lot of this and in your mind, not a heavy-duty amount of work, but a sense of being able to be aware and be very conscious and to be able to explore that, then you will be able to stay vibrationally above the mainstream, so that you can then receive from the mainstream, that you can be a favorite. You can be favored by the egregor, but you have to hold a certain level of power and resonance in order to do that, which is part of what we worked with in the first seminar. So in this seminar, we want to focus on how to translate. Now, start translating the vision and dream that you have of your success, whether it's really monetary or just prosperous and abundant in all sorts of other ways or not, that particular vision of yourself in your future, that future self, that optimal future self that you're dreaming yourself to be, that you're moving towards, that you're yearning to become more and step into, that future, all right, that future is sending you a resonance to the now. And if you can dream and envision, you're working with fifth dimension, which is the beginning of the imaginal. It's you're beyond time and space, which is the fourth dimension. So you have to go there in your imagination to get beyond time space. Time space is where everybody in the mainstream is hooked into, right? But to get beyond time space, in order to create magically, right, you have to dream and imagine your future. And then you will drop that future energy, the what it is that you wish, the abundance and prosperity is by the collective, is dropped down through from the higher levels of the collective down through the mainstream, into the mainstream, and into you and to you. So the translation of your dreams into physical activity, into actual materialization, is generally where spiritual people get kind of hung up. It's like, okay, we can envision it, we can meditate, we can feel it, we can step into it, we can pray for it, we can do all sorts of things. We know that there's a lot going on that's not physical, but somehow or another it has a little difficulty getting physical. Right. That's the trick. And this translation from the dream and the imagination, from that future dream, from that desired outcome, from the goal, from the that higher resonance of natural, harmonious prosperity and support for you, well, that needs to come to you through some kind of channel. It's translated by the unconscious mind. Now, the conscious mind's who's listening to us right now. You know what we're saying, you hear what we're saying, you know what we're talking about, and you're thinking about it and evaluating it and letting it in and being aware of it. That's your conscious mind. Now, your subconscious mind is the one that basically wants everything to be steady and secure and safe and predictable, right? So, and it's very useful because you don't want to have to relearn how to brush your teeth every day. You have all the patterns and the habits of the subconscious mind. That's why when a person wants to stop a bad habit, they may go to a hypnotherapist and undergo some hypnosis to address the subconscious mind to break the habitual responses, all right? So your habitual responses are in the subconscious mind. But that's not where you translate your dreams into material reality. That's how you translate energies into patterns of predictable behavior. Now, if you're going to do something like manifest a lot of money and open up a channel for money, it that may not have been opened before, then this means that you can't really rely on your subconscious mind to bring it through because your subconscious mind isn't used to it. It's beyond the scope of the subconscious mind. So if you were to rely on your habits, your internal habits, to bring you success, you probably will just end up staying at whatever level you are now. The secret to materialization lies in the unconscious mind. Now, the unconscious mind is the collective mind. While your conscious mind and your subconscious mind are associated with this particular lifetime and focus of the now that you have chosen to be in, the unconscious mind is the part that connects you to the whole collective. It connects you to the collective of your whole culture, of everyone, everything that's been done and so on, all of the Akashic records and all of that, all the other lifetimes that you've had, other people's lifetimes, all the people that you know and all their lifetimes and all the people, all the animals, plants, and everything. There's a oneness in the unconscious mind. You can access it all pretty directly if you can access the unconscious mind without going unconscious, right? So the trick in work and utilizing the unconscious mind is to be able to utilize the archetypes of it, to be able to utilize the concepts of it, to be able to resonate with its frequency, for you to get into harmony with that collective. So to materialize in the collective, you've got to, and to bring it to you, you've got to use the templates and the beliefs that hold reality illusion together. In other words, what makes things seem opaque. And it's like the hand here, you know, you're just not going right through the hand or anything. So you want to utilize these templates, the basic templates. Your DNA is accessible through the unconscious mind. A lot of miraculous healing goes through the unconscious mind. And indeed, miracles utilize the unconscious mind to bypass your subconscious rules and regs and habits and patterns that you have formulated. So in order to manifest something beyond what you have, accessing the unconscious mind through connecting with its resonance, and that is the egregor, to interact and interface with the egregor, to activate and interface your relationship with money itself as an archetype, as a concept, enables you to work with the illusion much more directly and enables you to kind of slip around your habits. Slip around some of that mind talk that keeps you bound. Now, your relationship with money is going to get all bound up in the subconscious. We went through that in the first seminar. But in this one, we want to talk about how you create an opening, a channel between where you are right now in time and your egregor, your collective. You give energy to the collective. The collective gives energy back to you. And when you get that energy back from the collective, whether in form of money or as in form of gifts or in whatever form it is, it's coming through a channel. It's like volcanoes are down, deep down in the earth, but they have to have a channel, otherwise they don't spew out at the surface of the earth. Otherwise it all just stays down underneath there. You've got to have a channel for it to come through, for it to materialize. And most people have difficulty creating channels. So we wanted to focus this particular one on channels. We have a lot of information for you, so we're going to head right into it. The first thing is because the nature of money is always, it's an illusion, you know, money is, the system of money is all about debt. The banks made up imagined money, okay? They went to the imagined money, and the government said, okay, we'll play with your imagination. So in your imagination, lend us a bunch of money, and we will owe you money, and we will pay you back money. Now, how this system got started, we're not going to get into. It's kind of, it's an amazing thing that it could just materialize out of nothing, but that's what it did. But it essentially created continuous debt. So there really is no value beyond what is being imagined. But in the process of repaying your debt, in other words, giving of yourself for the sake of receiving money, and giving the giving part, you are actually creating the value. Money is just the recognition of your value from the collective. The egregor will recognize your value by giving you things. All right, so first of all, let's look at how many channels you've got open. Now, if you have a lot of channels, then you have a lot of different ways to magically bring money in. And frankly, the more channels you have that you're capable of opening up, in a sense, the easier it is to be abundant. All right, but the thing is that most people find one channel and they put all their energy and focus into that one channel to bring money in. We're going to discuss the different types of channels in just a moment, but if you have only one channel, like you have a job, and that's the only way you get money, it's the only way you get resources. Otherwise, nobody's around there giving you stuff. You have to earn it, okay? So let's say you have a job, and you've got money coming in. That's a channel for money, all right? And if you only have one channel, there's not, you know, all your magical manifestation techniques are going to get applied to that one channel. And the danger of that is that you might make money too real. You might make it too important. You might get too antsy about it, too stressed out about it, because it's either black or white. I'm either going to succeed or I'm going to crash and fail and burn. And it becomes very dramatic, right? So we do recommend building as many channels as you can comfortably for yourself. Now, there's different types of channels. And so you'll recognize what channels you have, but there are other channels. And, of course, when people think of channels for big money, what's the first thing that people tend to come to mind is, oh, gosh, the lottery. Oh, if I just had the lottery, everything would just, whew, all my problems would be solved. And, of course, seeing money as the solver of problems doesn't really attract money to you, right? And also, if you were to even win the lottery, the danger of that is, which happens in most cases of people who win the lottery, is that they self-destruct in some way. They get their family, and they have arguments. Everybody shows up for some money. There's breakups. It's just crazy, and so most people don't seem to know how to deal with it. And about 2 years after they win the lottery, most of them are back where they were before. But this time with a whole trail of wreckage of relationships that has been created in the meantime. So you don't really want to look at and focus on the lottery. If you feel a very strong need to escape, you feel very stressed out and miserable, then, you know, go and fantasize winning the lottery. And what would you do with all that money, and how would you live your life and so on? That can be valuable to a certain extent, and sometimes it's a palliative for people who are just too stressed out about money. But recognize it is a fantasy. It's a 2D fantasy. You don't materialize stuff when you fantasize winning the lottery. And also, you have to understand that the lottery is part of a collective. There's a collective consciousness around the lottery, and that's the egregor. The egregor doesn't tend to reward people who are desperate and needy. And if you think about it, so many of the people who play the lottery have a desperation, a neediness, a craving of, oh, please, please, oh, Lord, give me a miracle. Oh, please, please. And then they're all like praying, and they're all in the scarcity consciousness and looking to be saved by a whole bunch of money. The egregor is not very excited about that because, you know, you put in a dollar and you hope you're going to get millions and millions of dollars back. The egregor says, well, you know, that doesn't turn us on. We don't feel inclined to give you anything because you're needy and desperate and craving and trying to manipulate God to give you the lottery and manipulate Lady Luck. And say, you know, you're too small. Your energy's not. We don't respect you that much. You're not giving much. You know, continue your job. Do whatever. Do your usual stuff. You know, we'll give you little drips or drabs in your salary. So that's what we'll do. So the egregor is not very not very supportive of the lottery. It's part of what we would call gambling fever. And gambling fever is most of the time gambling fever is hoping for riches without, you know, much investment, okay? You can go to a casino and play the lotteries there and so on, and you might win something, but most people lose because you know it's tilted towards the house. The house is not going to disperse equal to what it receives, of course not. So you know it's stacked against you, but there's this whole mythology of gambling and having great winnings. Now, even in other circumstances, like in businesses and so on, if you get into the idea of putting out a little bit of effort and getting a humongous return with very little effort, then it can get you really, really hot and excited. And, oh, my God, oh, my God. Oh, wow, wow. Count up these dollars. Oh, count up the numbers. Oh, my gosh. And you can get into gambling fever. And gambling. Now, the stock market is gambling. It's a kind of more sophisticated gambling. It's a little bit less risky, although there are certain risky investments you can do or risky stocks and so on. But it's gambling fever, though, is not something that works very well if you're trying to be a day trader or trying to work the stock market or trying to make big money on Wall Street. Gambling fever, again, is a scarcity energy. And what it tends to do is to sabotage you. So, and it can cause you to make poor decisions about where to put your money, what to focus your energies on. And the egregor does not like you, you know, when you've got gambling fever. It's like, okay, well, yeah. Okay, yeah, you got a lot of testosterone, maybe. You're all excited. You're all hyper. Okay, no, egregor doesn't get turned on by that. You don't have enough value for the egregor. The egregor only will give to you if it perceives that you have value, and you have to show that it has value. But the lottery and gambling is what people fantasize about. However, most people do earning, okay? So earning is like where you get a job, you make a contract agreement to get a particular function, and for that you get paid a certain amount. And we would say that those who get paid salaries don't have much flexibility, right? Unless there is something in the way of bonuses or extra, you know, extra perks that you could get if you achieve well, or if your department achieves well, or something like that. Then you have some room, some wiggle room, in which to do some magic, right? So you can work with that. Now, if it's by the hour, you don't have much magical wiggle room there either. And you can get to the place to where you work you over, in a sense, overwork yourself, overearn, in order to build up the hours and therefore make more, get more money into your bank account. But part of the problem with earning is that when you are earning, most of the time you are earning as an employee. If you're an employee and you have a supervisor or boss that you must please or must work for, or who wants to take credit for whatever good things you do, and so on, you're put basically into a position of parent-child, the boss being the parent figure and you being the child. And when you have a parent-child dynamic, you being the child, Gregor is not too interested in you. Gregor doesn't, you know, particularly like the parent either, because the parent, your boss will probably be an employee and look and have a boss above him or her, and so there's that parent-child dynamic. And so for you to do some magic, you might want to put together some kind of channel on the side of your own, just to kind of get something, rather than overworking yourself to get some extra money. You might want to find some kind of channel that can bring you a little bit of money doing something that you have more control over. Okay, so now, in between gambling and earning, there are certain types of systems in which you systems about money making, and one of the best known gambling systems is like a Ponzi scheme, where you pay money in, and supposedly all these people that are under you and some levels under you are going to pay you money, and then you're going to get rich at some point. And of course, those tend to crash and burn after a short while. And the only chance you get is if you're up at the very, very beginning of it. And then you can get some money. But most everybody loses in a Ponzi scheme. Now, similar to a Ponzi scheme, but not a Ponzi scheme, is multi-level marketing. That is a system whereby you initiate, you are a representative of products for a company, a multi-level marketing company, and you represent the products, you sell the products, and you can sign up people to sell the products and duplicate what you do, and then you make overrides. And you can make overrides down several levels, and if you get to a certain high level and you make enough, you and your group make enough money, it rises you to a new level to where you get bigger overrides and bonuses and things like that. And to get into that, to go into multi-level marketing very often involves gambling fever. It's like, because you look at, oh, look at this. If I sell this many and I sign up this many people who sell that many, look how it multiplies. Look at the multiplication. Woohoo! Wow! Look how much money I would make. And I wouldn't be having to do all that work. I just do this part up here. I just do the initial work. I just do the signing up of the initial lineup of people, and I can do a little training and coaching on, and so on, and sell some little stuff, and boy, well, we can make a fortune. So we want to warn you is that, yes, some people can make fairly good money. A few people make really good money on multi-level marketing, but it is a lot of work. And if you get into it for gambling fever, you will probably crash and burn and not really make any money on it. You'll end up with a garage full of products that earned you a whole bunch of bonuses and got you to a new level of overrides, but you have to still have to sell them, and now you don't get any overrides on them because you've bought them all. And so there's a whole bunch of downsides to the multi-level marketing, the greatest of which potentially is the company itself, because it's not your business. They keep telling you, this is your business, your business. No, it isn't. You're a representative for them. And if they go Looney Tunes and they can't pay you your commissions, and they go defunct, or they get into trouble with the law or whatever it is, down goes your business and all your work. So be very careful what kind of multi-level marketing company that you stick with or that you work with if you want to, if you have a natural temperament of being able to sell easily and you have a big network of people who will be follow you. If you recommend something, they'll go for it and they'll do and they'll follow you. If you've got followers, you can basically make a great deal of money. But we're not gearing this seminar to influencers, online influencers who have 100,000 followers or more. Basically, we're talking about people who are like looking at, okay, how do we get from where we are to another level? Okay, so earning is earning. It is a risk. If you work for a company that goes down, if you go for a startup and you work really, really, really hard, and then you don't end up making money because the startup doesn't work, it collapses. You want to be able to get into a situation. Part of you wants it to be stable. Lots of money, stable, consistent coming in. That when you're doing magic, that doesn't ever work. That's not what you aim for. Okay, so yes, you could do multi-level marketing, and you can do magic and do amazing things in it. Okay, because there's a lot of room for magic, a lot of room for growth. And any kind of company that you invest in or that you work for or something, if you're an independent contractor, you can create a certain amount of magic. But we'll get into more of that later. But another channel, and this is the favorite channel, but not that many people have it, and that is to inherit your money. And of course, up there in the higher echelons of the 1%, there are family trusts and parental money and big corporations that the children inherit and run and so on and so on. So there's tremendous amount of money through inheritance. Not that if you have an inheritance, it necessarily means that you're going to be tremendously wealthy, but it does mean that you're given your wealth and you can do stuff with it. And if you are trained already to assume and expect that you're going to have this money and learn how to create it and build it and work it yourself, you're going to stay at a very high level of money. But most people have difficulty with inheritance because family relationships are pretty sticky. And even if your parents have money trying to please them or trying to get the money in the will, it could be contested by a sibling. All sorts of problems can arise. So recognize that if you want to inherit money, if there's any potential money in your family to inherit, you need to clear the relationships between you and your family members. That needs to be healed and needs to be worked with. And maybe you need to have someone who is a really, really good spiritual psychology coach to help you do that healing so that you can hold a powerful resonance. As we talked about in the first seminar, if you hold a resonance of power, if you hold a resonance of your value, the egregor will respect you. The egregor will see that you are worth receiving money. And so in family situations, when you are the child, it's a bit harder to get out of the parent-child dynamic, even if you're grown up, even if you're, in your 40s or more. It's hard to step out of child role. But if you can do that and step into your resonance and step into your power and hold it and stay at a higher resonance level, you can very often then manage to either get that inheritance with a minimal amount of aggravation or whatever, or if there's an issue in which you don't get your inheritance, still on a certain level, if you've been holding that resonance, you're worth a certain level of value, and it's going to play out for you in some other way. You know, the universe doesn't want to necessarily leave you high and dry. The egregor says if you have value, then you're going to get value. Even if your family won't give it to you, you're going to get it some other way. But inheritance is, of course, one of the easiest ways to get it, provided you can clear out your anger, your rage, stay an adult, and keep your power and stand up to the family members in resonance of love. And it's tough to do. It's huge. It's, for some people, this is their commission of challenge. This is their focus in their life, is how to be able to stand up as an individual with people around you who look at you and still see the person you were at 14 or something, and to be able to hold that resonance. But it also can be a marvelous opportunity for you to be able to bring in a lot of money. But another way is through gifts. Now, everybody would love to have someone come and drop $1 million on them, right? This doesn't happen very often, but if you have connections and friends and you connect out into the world and so on, there's a possibility you can receive some gifts. You know, people may make something for you and just give it to you. You know, so and so stay in gratitude, because gratitude basically enables you to resonate to the energy of receiving. And also learn to ask for things. Learn to ask people for things. Ask people to give you things or to do things for you. And a lot of people are very skitterish or hesitant about that. And the people who are not skitterish or hesitant about that may also be sociopaths or psychopaths. And they ask people because they feel entitled and so on. But we don't recommend any kind of manipulation, but just learn how to ask and learn how to be present in gratitude, because the more you're in gratitude, the easier it's going to be to receive, and the easier it's going to be once you set up your channel to receive money and good things through it. The channel, when she was in her 20s, she worked in a health food restaurant, and there was another guy who worked there, and in the kitchen, and they, you know, wash, you know, he was like cook number two or three, and also was dishwasher and so on. And during the summer, he befriended an older man and worked for him in his yard and built something for him in his yard. And the old man got a little sick, and so the guy would go over and help him out and so on and so on. He didn't think about it, but the guy died and left him a tremendous amount of money. Left him like a house that was worth about $2 million, and this is in the 70s. So all of a sudden, this guy realized, oh my gosh, you know, I'm set. So, and it was a total surprise for him. He didn't realize he was going to get it. Now, that could be seen as inheritance, but this was not his father. This was another person. So in a sense, it was much more of a gift. And so another way of gifts is, can you find money? You know, one time the channel and Daniel went saw an abandoned house and thought, oh, this is interesting. And they went in and they just explored around in it. And they went upstairs, and in the master bedroom closet, they found $600. It's like, huh, okay. All right, maybe there was some drug dealing going on there. They don't know. But anyway, if you find it, you know, sometimes you just find it. There was a guy who that we spoke to years ago who had gotten really into programming money, so much so that he would just find money. He would just go... he would be in his house, and he'd walk back and forth past the table several times. And one time he'd come by, and there'd be a couple of dollars there. Who put these dollars there? His wife, I don't know. It just showed up. And so he was just manifesting bits of money all over the place. And so that was fun. You can do that, too, if you get into that space, okay? Now, some people have pensions or Social Security. or some type of money return. Now, of course, you earned that. You earn a pension or Social Security. But your earning days end, and then you have receiving days. And so for you to be able to work some magic here is that it's not, we're not talking about magic about really getting the best budget you can get, but we're also talking about maybe looking at, okay, what are you going to do now that you're quote-unquote retired? First, you're going to have fun, you're going to rest, you're going to play, whatever, but at some point, you want to give back. If you give back to the society, if you give back to the world, and you give back from a place of love and gratitude and personal power and in your own authority and your value, you might find a whole new channel of income showing up. We know people who's like, okay, they built a business and they say, oh my, we're working way too much. Let's sell this business. We can sell this business and we can retire. And so they sold the business and they retired. And after about a few months, they said, we're really bored. What do we want to do? So they got into this, got into an interest and got into a hobby. And they got, both of them got so excited with this hobby, they turned it into another multi-million dollar business. It was really fun. Then they finally sold that too. And so who knows what they got into as their third act there. But so if you're going to retire, realize that if you can give to the collective, give to the egregor from a place of value, you can probably get other sources of revenue or other kinds of resources, other kinds of wealth that may not be money per se, but will have value for you. So you got to think about it that way. Now, the way that most people fantasize about it is to have passive income. And of course, pension and Social Security would be passive income. And hopefully the pension is pretty much guaranteed. And it's not from a private company that goes bankrupt, sells the company to another company, and the pensions disappear. You don't want anything like that to happen. You want to get magic in there, right? So, but passive income, it takes time to build it. So you have to build over a while to get to a place to where you can get a company, have someone else run it that you trust, and to get it moving. And because if you rush in building a momentum, then you can, you know, snap back. We're going to get into a whole thing about momentum in the next seminar. But if you own a company and someone else works it, there's very little to do. There's a guy who wrote the four, what was it? The four,
agreements?
No, the 4-hour work week or something like that. And basically he talks about how he was able to manage it with a cheap assistant overseas who did this and that and the other. And he was able to make good money. He lived very, very cheaply, like he lived in Mexico or he maybe lived in some other country that was very, very inexpensive, and he worked around the world online, and he was able to do pretty well, and so he wrote it up. So if you want, if that fascinates you, then try that, but don't do it through gambling fever. As we said, if you do it through gambling fever, you lose. You know, that doesn't work. The belief that there is easy money, you're looking that you're going to work really hard to set it up so then you can have easy money. But you need to take care of your attitude. You need to take care of your own process, your own mind talk, your subconscious patterns and habits. You have to deal with those in order for you to be able to give and receive without trying to make something happen and then spend all your time receiving. Because if you try to receive all the time without giving, egregor doesn't like that. And generally you get into smaller and smaller little boxes to live in. And finally, another channel through which you make money is through investments. And of course, you have to have some money to start out with to make some investments. So if you don't have money to invest, then you have to earn, you have to build, you have to manifest, you have to work your channels. But in investments, you can have someone managing your portfolio and you don't have to think much about it. But one of the things you do need to do is, even if you're having investments, you still need to do something. You know, it's not like, okay, now I'm going to kick back and I'm not going to do anything for anybody. This is time for me, and so on. That might work in the old school, in the mainstream old school for a bit. People who've, you know, lived inside the little box all their life, and so that's that, they earned it, they got it, that's their reward, and so on. But you're a spiritual person, and the bar is higher for you, and especially if you're starting to move above the collective, which is what's going on here, is that you've got to grow, you've got to keep growing, and so you've got to keep giving, and so you're just going to move to another level. And if you have investments and you can move to this other level, you can have magic in your investments. You can get bigger returns. Whatever companies that you're invested in or what your portfolio does can be amazing. You can lose a lot of money, you can make a lot of money, and how you respond to that will determine overall how successful and happy you can be. So a lot of it is internal attitude and orientation. Now, as we said, most people have just one channel. But how many channels do you need? You need one channel, at least. Okay, but the channels, whatever channels you create, need to be created deliberately. In other words, you need to build them piece by piece for them to be viable, because you want to create an avenue through which wealth can come to you, resources can come to you, money can come to you. You want to get that, but you have to build it. And you have to build your self-image along with it. You can't go too fast. You can't jump ahead. This is part of the problem with people who win lotteries, is that it gets out ahead of their capacity to hold it in their image of themselves as a rich person. They're basically a poor person with a whole bunch of money. And a poor person with all their issues about receiving, issues about deserving, issues about capacity, old shame, old problems, relationship problems, all of this will come up, because all of that can sabotage your money. So you want to deliberately build your channels. We don't expect that you're going to open up a new channel in another month, by the time we do seminar three, that you will really be ready to really materialize through that. But if you have something, if you're working on some things and you get things open, you can start to see fairly soon. You can start to get the whispers, the messages from your reality that it's coming and it's coming, and give you encouragement, and giving you more sense of opportunities, give you more sense of insights, and really good ideas. Don't grow too fast, right? So that'll give a crash. Now, some of you, and we've talked with you in private, many of you who have a channel going, that is not very successful, or it is successful financially, but you're just really tired of doing that. It's like, this really isn't me anymore. I've outgrown this. I would like to do something else that's more fun. But how in the world do I, how do I get out of this channel and move to another channel, and so on? And so the danger here is that you make the channel that you are working now wrong. Because you say, okay, I'm tired of this channel, bad channel, right? Okay, I want to have a better channel. I don't know what it is yet, but I really want to do something else that's more fun, that's more me, that's whatever. That'll be the right channel. Well, the thing is there is no wrong and right, and the channel you got going right now, first you need to just put a whole bunch of magic on it. You need to take off any judgment of it. If you're in an old channel that and you're tired of your job and you're tired of the way that you're making money now and you'd really like to get out of it and you don't like your boss or you're tired of working, you know, long hours or it's just not interesting to you anymore, then what we would suggest is to look at what was it that was interesting besides money itself, okay, that got you there in the first place. Why did you go with working with that company? Why did you choose this particular entrepreneurial business? Why did you do it other than money? What aspects of the business did you actually like, especially at the beginning? What was it that attracted you to do that rather than something else? And if you look at it, you'll find out that maybe you just loved working with the people. You know, Daniel was a computer consultant for a while, and he got kind of tired of it, and he was looking for something that was not just so stressful and required so much driving around and so many handling so many crises as computers would break down and programs would stop and all that kind of thing. But he realized that he loved working with the people, that he enjoyed the people. He enjoyed supporting the people and he could inspire them, and it was really great to be touched by them and to touch them and so on. And so that part of the business he liked, and he focused on that. We suggested that, and he focused on that so that he could stay with that particular job for a while, so that he didn't make it wrong, so he didn't just collapse it, because you can collapse your work. It's easy to do. You could just say, oh, I don't like this anymore. Business drops out. Okay, that's one of the things that can happen. Now, so don't make the old way wrong. It's not an either or. You need to continue the channel that is actually bringing you stuff. But you need to be giving through that channel as a powerful, radiant light being, not as a drudge. Not as a worker bee. Oh, gosh, all right, oh, I still have to do this. Oh, gosh. Okay, no, you got to shift your attitude, get back into the resonance. It doesn't mean that you're going to be stuck with it forever, which is the fear that you would probably have. But what it means is that you're going to lift your resonance up so that you can, when the time is right, shift more of your energies over to another channel that you've created and started going. So we do recommend that you continue an old channel and you start building a new channel on the side. Okay. Now, how do you find a new channel? Now, maybe you don't have any way to think about it. Like, well, where is a new channel? What do I think of to find a new channel? I don't know what resources I've got. I don't know who I am. Okay. So we have a little 7 questions, all right? So we got the channel to type out 7 questions. How to find new channels of income. These are questions to ask yourself. First of all, what's your temperament? Now, only about 10% of the population is the workaholic, driven type of temperament. And people who succeed in the workaholic universe, for the most part, are competing with each other, and the ones that are the toughest competitors that tend to rise to the top are sociopaths or psychopaths, people who don't have that much empathy, people who don't tend to think about other people, don't work in teamwork all that well. They are very strong individuals, and they think they deserve more than other people. Now, they do have a gift or a capacity that a lot of people don't have, and that they're willing to be more successful. They're very, very sure of their own value. They're very certain of it. It's not just an ego bluff. They actually think so because they have eliminated all contradictory information in their psyche. They're like have a box And in this box is, I am it. I'm the positive. This is it. I'm the successful one. Everyone should be aware of my achievements and really support me, right? And then anything else is, oh, well, I'm not interested in what anybody else wants. I'm not here to support anybody else. They're here to support me. Now, unfortunate as it is that the top level of the hierarchy of the corporations and of government and so on tend to be taken over by these people, by these people who don't really, don't care about others. They're willing to step on other people to get up and so on. That is a certain temperament. And very few people, even out of the 10% that have the workaholic drivenness, only a small percentage are those. And so the first and major thing you need to get out of your mind is, as a spiritual person, you're not going to ever go there. You're not a psychopath. You can never make it to the top in a ruthless, competitive, dominating environment. That's just not a path congruent to a spiritual path. Okay, so as a spiritual being, you want to look at your temperament. And some people's temperament, they want to be active, they want to be busy, they want to be engaged, and so on. So if that's you, great. Then you know that your temperament is, you've got to find channels that are active, engaging, and have a certain amount of movement, activity, interactions, and so forth that are just right for you, your percentage, right? So you don't want to, you're probably not going to be a dominator. You're probably not going to be a huge individualist. Don't think you have to do it all yourself. That's part of the mythology of the egregor, of the mainstream, is that you have to be a big individual and do it yourself. If you create your own channel, you can start easy. But look at your temperament. How do you want to live your day? What is your way of being? Do you like people and interacting? Are you like solitude more? All right. So, what's your day? Are you like a up before dawn kind of person? Rah rah da 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 da, with lots of energy, and then you crash early in the evening. Why? Or are you a night owl? What are you? So play around with that, and what kind of, and think that whatever channels you open up need to work in sync with that. You cannot go against your temperament. Okay. Number two, how strong is your health? How's your relationship with your body? Because in order for you to handle multiple channels, you're probably going to need to have good physical health, and you've got to have a good constitution. You've got to be able to sleep decently. You've got to be able to digest your food. You've got to be able to your eating and elimination and your mitochondria, those energy, you got to have some energy, you got to have a pretty good immune system. Basically, you got to have a good will to live. And you've got to, and that kind of thing. Well, and number three, what are your interests, your gifts, your talents, your skills? Maybe there's a channel that you used to do that you can go back to, not to do it the way you did it, but to find a new twist, a new direction, a new aspect of it, you know? So maybe you can play around with it, try something different. If you have an interest in something, well, that's fun, you have a hobby, maybe like the couple we talked about earlier, you find ways to turn that hobby into networking, and then from that to somehow or another finding, you will find through your networking opportunities to make money off your hobby. And what do you like to do in your spare time? If you have spare time, what do you do the most? Do you write emails like the channel does? Do you like to read and take notes and study stuff? Do you like to listen to music and dance? Do you like to do yoga? What do you like to do? Right. So, look at Look at what your interests are. Now, anybody looking to create a new channel of receiving is going, of course, the first thing they're going to do is, okay, so what is your interest? What's your talent? What's your gift? What skill? What do you have? What do you have available to give that you can receive money for? So that's what that question's about. Okay, number four, do you have a passion? No, I don't have a passion. Oh, I'm kind of tired all the time. I'm kind of bored. No, I don't really have a passion. Well, if you don't have a passion, then you don't have any enthusiastic desire for anything. Then you don't have any desire to learn anything. You don't have any desire to study it or grow about it or play with it or experiment with it. Well, you're not going to get anywhere. Now, so what you want to establish within yourself, that you're willing to learn. Now, men have a really hard time with this one, because the rules of the man code are that a man should never look weak. A man should never ask questions. He's the one who gives answers. That a man, if a man is studying, learning and studying and sewing and keep taking courses and so forth like that. It's like, okay, then, but that's, you know, that's, why are you still doing that? That's what you do when you're in school before you get in your career. It's almost like if you have to learn something, you have to admit that somebody knows more than you do, and in man code terms, that's very vulnerable, right? So men have to basically shape up and say, okay, I'm willing to learn from some teacher. I'm willing for somebody to show me. And I'm even willing for it to be a woman. That's hard for a man, yeah, generally. Okay, so, and for women generally are more willing to study and learn about it and grow, and they may have an interest in a particular area. Even if you don't think that area could ever bring you some money, you'd be surprised. Or that area would bring you resources, that would bring you opportunities, that would bring you connections that will take you to another level. You'd be surprised. So go for your interests, okay? And number five, your motivation and will. This goes along with number two, your health. If your motivation and will are strong, then your health generally can stay up no matter what you're doing. Can you stick with something without getting upset, without getting frustrated? Can you focus on something one thing at a time? Can you channel your energy fully at one particular time? Now, we're not saying that it has to be 24/7. If you already have a channel going and you want to put together a new channel, and if you have the motivation to put this channel together and the will to put this together and you know what it is, can you focus on that one channel, that this is what you do between 4 and 6 p.m. or whatever it is, that you can completely focus on it on the weekends, or can you stick with it? Can you focus on it? Or do you have the fear of missing out of all these other possibilities that could bring you more money? You see, a lot of people have problems focusing on one channel at a time, and we know that because the one who channels us has that problem. And there's a feeling that if you narrow your focus and say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm committing to this, that you're missing out on this opportunity, that opportunity, the other opportunity. But what it also means is that when you get going, that your commitment is not strong enough and your will and your motivation don't stay up, that you can kind of crash, or you can get tired, or you start getting pushing yourself and getting into the slave driver. And if you find yourself in slave driver mode, you will never get there. You'll crash first. So if you find yourself pushing and driving yourself to do something, then and having to drink a lot of coffee to get yourself to do something, you got the slave driver going, and you need to take our seminar on motivation and true motivation so that you can clear your slave driver, okay, and get that out. So that you can have a real truth of motivation. And when you have that, if you have that, then when a business opportunity shows up, you're not going to get distracted and just go getting gambling fever and run off to that one. We've known too many people who work hard, and they're working hard trying to get this channel going, and then somebody says, but over here, look, if you work and do this MLM company, multi-level company, look, these people are making big money. You ought to check this out. This is a fabulous product. It sells itself. You've just got to look up. You've got to go look at this. You know, we know people who just, okay, all right, I'll go over there. Okay, I'll drop this. This is not going anywhere. I'm going to go over there. And, of course, the same thing repeats itself, and after a while you're frustrated and tired, and it doesn't seem to be getting anywhere, building any momentum, and something else shows up. Oh, this is a fast money way. Oh, my gosh, this is amazing. This is it. And you drop that one, and you can go to another one. We've seen too many people do that over years and years. Now, if you have done that, we want you to think back on all those different things that you did, because it shows that there's a resourcefulness in you to be able to recognize certain channels or find interesting certain channels. And we would recommend that if you're one of these people who get sensitively distracted by a whole bunch of different things or could do 20 different careers at once, but just didn't have the energy to do more than one, you might want to just sit down and write out all of these things that you've done and think about, well, maybe I can do something about that. Maybe I can create something about that. Maybe I can tweak that. Maybe I can think about that, or what it is that I could do there, and what did I learn about that, and so on. And you could probably put it into a certain amount of base of resource from which you could then gain some insight as to what would be a good channel for you. Okay, so, and that brings us to number 6, is what is your professional brand? What is your image? How do you see yourself in your culture? How do you see yourself in your world? What is it that you do in your world? How do you relate to it? Now, this is not an ego image. This is your natural spiritual light being image. Is who are you? What is your essential self? And how would you like other people to see you? How would you like to relate to other people? How would you like them to relate to you? What self do you perceive yourself needing to be in order to fulfill this aspect of yourself that you feel is your essence, but you just need to expand into and step into in a greater way? Now, this is your self-image is really what determines your level of success. If your self-image is of a valiant struggler or a student, the humble student, or the humble server of the divine. Okay, if you have these kinds of images in there, you've got to clear out everything that has to do with ego and just get right back to your essential self. What is the essence of what you want to give in your life to your world? What do you want to give through your love? What is it? And who is the self that would be giving? That would be the light being self, all right? That would be the creative self. That would be the authority. That would be the truth and an awareness self. That would be what? Who is this self that would be successful in these channels? Because the self-image is what you hold as your resonance. That's your field of resonance. That's your auric field. And the egregor reads your auric field to see if you value yourself and if you're willing. If you value yourself and you feel deserving and you're willing, the egregor likes you. You're going to get far. But you want to really consciously own it. And number 7 is, how much do you know about business? Business is essentially giving and receiving. But it has a whole bunch of technical details to it. How much do you know about that? How do you know? Do you know how to actually deal with clients? Do you actually know how to do sales? Do you actually know how to market? Do you have resources that you of people that could help you do that? That or inspirations, or do you know? You know how to negotiate well. Maybe are you a good entrepreneur? Maybe you know how to. Maybe you know how to brainstorm really well and be very creative and really get creative problem solving, which is, you know, very highly paid in the business world. Okay. If you're going to work for yourself, if this channel is going to be your own channel, know that it's not going to be steady income. It's partly a risk. Don't go into it with gambling fever, of course. Go into it as an expression of you. Because money is a symbol of wealth, but it's not what, wealth is not money only. Wealth is resources. So do you know how to utilize resources? Do you know how to tap resources? Do you have contacts, people you know that have great talents, gifts, and connections? Do you know how to make good connections? The secret of wealth is not money, but it's what you know, how you know it, how you express it, what you give, how you give, and who you know. But that's the secret of wealth. That's all sorts of resources. You could be given stuff. You can be given opportunities. You can get all sorts of things. This is just tremendous amount of possibilities. If you have resources, you will always be able to manage to get to another level. It's just amazing. Some people are very easy with that. Bob, think about it this way. How resourceful are you? How easily can you live without money? There are people that somehow or another live on a very, very minimal amount of money, but they end up doing interesting things, going interesting places, meeting interesting people, getting staying with this person, having that adventure. All sorts of marvelous things can happen even without money. That is resources. That's wealth in its own way. There was an experiment where in New York where they had people, well-dressed people, like they had a lot of money, and they would go out on and ask strangers for help and say, you know, I lost my wallet. Can you lend me some money? Can you give me some money so I can get home, so I can get, you know? And people were very willing to give them money. And then they had the people dress very poorly and shabbily and go out and ask people. They didn't get anywhere near the response. So in a way, people perceive your self-image by how you dress, by how you show yourself, and so on. And but is it too scary to ask? Is it scary to ask for help? And can you negotiate? Can you barter? Are you too timid? Are you too bold? Are you too angry? What resources do you have available? Look at this. You have got all the information on the internet. You've got all sorts of ideas percolating in your mind. You've got people and connections that are doing interesting things. Maybe you have some good relationships with friends. Maybe you have friends with money. Maybe you have poor friends, but if you have a question about something, you have people you can call and you can ask. Is there a fear or resistance on you to ask for help? Do you have good relationships with your family and relatives? Or do you feel that there's fear around dealing with them? And we talked about this earlier, pressure on you. If you feel that you have a lot of pressure on you to make money and pressure to make money fast. This depletes your inner resources and also disconnects you from external resources coming your way. This is because you're in scarcity consciousness, and what is your self-image is of desperation. Egregor does not like that. Okay. If you have issues with your family, you may not be able to ever get on a financial level above that of your family. Or you may be expected to support others in your family who are unwilling to work, or you have to have a lot of dependents or something like that. Now, of course, if you have children that are dependents on you, then there's a lot of pressure for you to work hard. A lot of pressure. A lot of pressure to make money fast. And we understand that. That's really hard to do. But there are some things that you can do to seed, okay, to seed your channels. You know, because first of all, you need to be comfortable and understand that your bottom line concept. The bottom line is below which that you would not be able to really survive. You'd be like homeless on the street, and you'd barely make it there. Okay? So the bottom line is where you can basically function, where you can just cover your most basic needs. That's your bottom line. Everybody has a bottom line. Now, the poorer you are, the lower your bottom line. The more desperate you can get to, as the closer you get to that absolute bottom line. And there's a lot of drama around that. And we have tremendous compassion for people struggling to get above and stay above the bottom line. There's your bottom line is the comfort level of handling money, your budget, where you prioritize, how you survive. Okay, now, the bottom line, we're going to deal with the bottom line in the next seminar on how to raise your bottom line, because a very wealthy person who's really comfortable with their wealth, because there's a lot of wealthy people who are not comfortable with their wealth, and they're still in terror that somehow or another it's going to disappear overnight, and they won't know what to do with themselves, okay? So we're talking about someone who is comfortable in their magical capacity to manifest, all right? And their bottom line is way, way up there. Their bottom, and so they can have interests. Their bottom line covers not just necessity, but it covers preferences and possibilities and fun too. Okay, so you want to get your bottom line up. Because if you're pressured, if you're in scarcity consciousness, if you manifest your money at the 11th hour, and it's always like, oh no, I'm not going to make it, I just made it. Just in deadline, right? This just is going to enable financial scarcity, and your egregor is going to turn their back on you. So you're just not going to get stuff. So you want to be willing, worthy, and you want to lift that bottom line. So we'll talk about that next time. Now, in order to get things started to come through a channel, you want to seed it. It's called seeding. And you want to take the first steps towards it. And we call that doing the dance. So here is some ways. We have another one of these lists that we gave the channel to write down so that we'd be able to go through these relatively quickly. So these are in no particular order, but these are important points to hold your resonance up, because in order to get the energy started, to initiate the energy, this is the energy of giving, okay? This is the energy that tickles the egregor and starts getting the egregor interested in you, starts getting the universe thinking well of you, and we need to start giving now. It's time to start giving to this person. Okay, so the first thing to do is make your inner child happy. Go visit your inner child, give your inner child a money machine, make your inner child safe, happy, loved, whatever scenario you have to imagine for your inner child. Do that, okay? So that they are happy and they're satisfied and they're not pulling on you saying, oh, will I survive? Will I make it? Please help me. And so you don't want your inner child doing that. It will interfere with you, okay? It will pull you down into scarcity consciousness, because your inner child doesn't feel powerful. you've got to stay in your power. So get your inner child happy and get them occupied, okay? And then get your inner adolescent happy. Now, for a girl, sometimes girls are so particular about their looks. This is, and so what we had to do is tell people about, you know, girls, women with whose girl selves would look in the mirror and say, "I'm ugly." And some of these women, they're in their 40s, 50s, still think they're ugly, and they look at the mirror and they look at, ooh, my bad hair day, and this look, my skin looks terrible, my ears are still bad, oh, I don't like my nose, blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. And I have too many pounds on, and oh my gosh, I'm going to look at my weight, oh my gosh, my weight. So what you do is you go to your adolescent self, that's the one who worries about it. And, you know, if your boy self may also want to have muscles and, you know, be on the star of the football team or something. So go to high school and give your adolescent self a wonderful psychic plastic surgery to make them beautiful, handsome, stunning, gorgeous, and give them a money machine and have them just play out all their fantasies. They don't have to be responsible. They don't have to grow up. Let them do stupid stuff, whatever they want to. If they want to get drunk, whatever. Want to take drugs. See, it's not going to ruin your life. All it is just a fantasy. But give it to them so that they're occupied temporarily. All right? So, and that gets them out of your way. So you're not worried about whatever the people think. You don't feel guilty all the time. You don't get nervous and anxious around people all the time. It gives you a tremendous amount of success and so on. And then also, once you get the adolescent and the child happy, then look at your future self and just make sure that your future self is happy too. So that you are on a timeline between a happy past to a happy future. So, and if you want more help in that, we've already done seminars specifically on this step. Another one is imagination. Imagine a day in your life being prosperous, secure, happy, free, safe, having fun. And just go through the whole day and imagine it and step in it and be it and play it out and just play around with it. Where would you wake up? Who would you wake up with, if at all? Where would you live? What kind of life would it be? You know, just make it up. Another seeding is having a magic box with choosing a special box and putting all your desires and wishes in there, maybe some crystals and so on, and blessing it and putting special or having a little altar with special things that symbolize money and symbolize prosperity and symbolize, that's another way of putting some energy there. And our tithing is that putting some money aside every week or every month or something and put them in a box and with notes of and affirmations and things like that. You can do something like that. Another way of seeding is also getting with other people and imagining and dreaming for their success, just sitting down and visualizing for their success. Lynn McTaggart, who wrote The Field, she's written this book called Power of Eight, which he's discovered that if you get a group of eight people together and you, seven of you, for 10 minutes, focus on the eighth person, total desires being fulfilled and complete happiness, that it does marvelous, miraculous things. And so she has Power of Eight groups. And if you go to Power of Eight, we think it's probably powerofeight.com, you can join a group of eight. They're all around the world, and you get on together online on Sunday or something like that, and then you just dream for one of the members, and everybody goes through transformations. It's pretty amazing. Even the people who are dreaming for someone else get amazing transformations. So that's another way of getting the energy going. Give dollars away. to strangers, just go up to strangers and give them dollars, give them money. What does it feel like to give money away? How do you feel about it? How do they respond? What do you feel? That's just a way of kind of getting some energy going. And of course, live as abundant, even if you, regardless of your net worth. Live as if you're wealthy. That doesn't mean that you're spending and being indulgent and anything like that. Don't go to an adolescent version of success. Just live as if you already are wealthy. And let it be natural to you to feel that you're a multimillionaire. That's fine. Yeah, that's just normal. What would that feel like if you lived that way? So just learn how to live that way. And take good care of your things. These material things, these are your materializations. So clean up clutter. Keep your house clean. Groom yourself. Groom your dog, your cat. Let go of old stuff you don't need. Let go of the attachment to every little thing. Sense that you're making room for a new, wealthier you. Give yourself some space. Allow a space for abundance to come in. Do psychic, shamanic cleansing. Do purification rituals. Sage your place, and you know, do things of cleansing and purifying and opening. Okay, another way to do it also is to volunteer in your area of interest. If there's something that seems interesting to you, go volunteer. Yeah, you're not going to make money, but you're going to align yourself with the energy of the channel that you're probably going to open up at some way, and you don't know how maybe, but just go ahead and go for it. Or apprentice yourself to somebody say that's doing something that you just think is fascinating and doing it well, saying, hey, can I assist you in that? Is there any way I can assist you? I just think this is fascinating. I'd really learn more about that, and I'd love to help you. Okay, that's another way of doing it. And then practice giving of your value. You know, if you know something, share it. Share it with other people. Of course, not necessarily share your wisdom with your family. We know family members are like, what? What? You going to give me advice? You know, you know who to give advice to. But you know by now who you can share with what you know. If you're crafty, you can make things and give things to people and play around with that and be artistic and creative. If you have a creative channel, this really helps on all levels for you to find new channels, even if they aren't specifically crafts or anything like that. And invent solutions. Do some imagination work. Look at things that are frustrating or annoying in your life, in your home, and invent things in your mind. Look at problems in the world. Invent solutions. Write them down. Start thinking this way about that, about what needs to be manifest in the world, right? And also, if you are under crazy financial stress, you're really at that bottom line, and you're like, oh, Galexis, please show me a channel where I can get some fast money. We're not going to do that. But if your money's crazy tight, go get a job. Any job. Just get a job. Just put yourself out there, do a job. Even if it's like McDonald's or something. Just go find a job. In the gig economy, there's plenty of little things where you run around and deliver stuff. May not have to do it for very long, but the point is that you need to get your energy channeled into the collective and start getting something happening. Okay, so get a job and work on creating a sense of value inside yourself. Work on, because you're going to have a boss or something, work on being an adult and not falling into parent-child. Build your sense of value. Build your imagination. Build your image. Now, we did a whole seminar on self-image, and of all the things that will give you the most success, self-image is probably the top. So if you find that you have insecurities and doubts and stuff about yourself that still plague you, really go work on your self-image. Take that seminar and really get your self-image together. so that you can hold this resonance. Because when you hold the resonance of your value, the egregor will smile fondly upon you, maybe make you one of its favorites, and good things will come your way. And then finally, as far as that is concerned, your body is your partner. Take good care of it, really. Don't abandon it. Keep your motivation clean. Don't push yourself. We mentioned that earlier. Love your body. Give it the movement it wants, good food it wants. Give it love. Give it comfort. Give it rest. You need to hug. You need hugs. Now, if you don't have a mate to hug, if you don't have a partner, hopefully maybe you have a cat or a dog you can hug. You know, give love. Hug. Give love. That opens up really good positive hormones. And that also, you know, tickles the egregor a little bit. Okay. And finally, what is your mission? Do you have a mission? You don't have to make money in your mission. You probably want to. You probably think that your career maybe is your spiritual mission or something like that. It could be, but may not be. The important thing is to arrange your life and your work and your activities around who you are, around your personal mission, your personal destiny. Do that more than organizing your life or making decisions based on money. Because when you make decisions based on money, then very often you have to go and redo the decisions. It doesn't turn out so well. People cannot stay motivated for money alone. Okay, and you probably already know this, but we just want to reinforce it. Is that when you're a spiritual person, you really intrinsically don't really care anything about money. You care about energy, you care about love, you care about life, you care about fun, you care about celebration, but you really don't care that much about money itself. So if you're going to befriend money, if you're going to be a friend of the egregor and so on, you've got to not make money your focus, since if you make money your focus, then you're in scarcity and your self-image is small. If you make your joy, your passion, your focus, ooh, the egregor likes that. Now, there is a caveat. If you make your passion your focus, but you still hold a belief of being the struggling artist or the wounded healer or somehow the valiant struggler, if you keep a low self-image, you're still not going to get anywhere, even when you're doing your passion. Then you'll just be doing your passion for free. You have to decide if that works for you or not, okay? And whether you have what value are you offering? What vision do you have of yourself? Can you offer your family? What can you offer your friends? What can you offer your nation, your world? As a light being. But then when you come down to you personally, individually, in your day-to-day life, you take this vision and you hold the resonance of it as you do life. Okay, like what they say, you know, what do you do before enlightenment? Is chop wood and carry water. And what do you do after enlightenment? Oh, chop wood and carry water. But when you're chopping wood and carrying water after enlightenment, you know who you are. It's a big difference. It feels completely different. Okay. And so remember, you've got to own who you are, your value. You've got to be deserving. You've got to know you deserve. As a spiritual being, you are creating this whole life, and this whole life is co-created by you and your team, and you deserve everything you want. You deserve good things. You got to get it, own it. As a spiritual being, this is your birthright. Are you willing to receive it? Are you willing to have it? Who are you? And watch out, because the ego will get you, or a gambling fever will get you. But if you can hold that resonance, you're fine. All right. Whew, okay. All right. So we're going to take a 10-minute break. And when you come back, we'll answer questions. And we hope you have some good, juicy questions for us, because this is a really complex and fascinating topic. And we look forward to your feedback. All right. So for now, farewell.